about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This reminds me of a little girl from a steel town who had the dream to dance.
She had to strip down to nothing. She had to sit in that chair and arch her back, and she reached up and pulled the chain to nowhere and doused herself with water.
Flashdance, you're talking about the movie from the 80s.
Yeah, you're damn right I am.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Party.
Thank God it's...
Party.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
We got rid of one rule from 40 years ago that could have forced some dairy farmers to spend $10,000 a year proving that they could contain a spill. With a rule like that, I guess it was worth crying over spilled milk.
This is your chance to talk to the world's expert in the vulva and the vagina.
You belong in a circus, right next to the dog-faced boy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That looks really hard to me.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know what? Women shouldn't be gross.
Roll another one.
This is horrible. This is offensive.
Just like the other one.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Are you drunk?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
What is a nerd?
Roll another one.
You're all doing great.
Except for Kevin.
Just like the other one.
Very, very clever.
This one seems to be about.
This is Santa Monica.
I don't have another cent.
I need to step out. My bowels get very loose in situations like this.
Just pass it around.
This is endless.
Represent.
And now,
starring Steve McQueen and a cast of exciting young people,
our feature presentation.
And Lisa May saying represent.
Represent. That's the whitest word that has ever been said by the whitest person that has ever lived.
From Englewood.
From Englewood. Wow. Where you are always up to no good. That's I did forget right. About that. Forgot where you came from.
Morning, my everybody. Roots. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday morning, the 17th of May.
Finally Friday.
Yes. And tomorrow.
Finally we rest.
Yeah. Tomorrow's a work day. Yes.
It's not a work day.
Is that what you meant, Lisa?
Well, I meant a fun day.
Oh, fun, yeah, fun. Yeah, fun day.
We've been
fun
looking
day.
Forward to.
Work day, right. Hey, speaking of a work day, listen to this story from Bullitt County, Kentucky. This made me think of a beer mug. This sounds like the type of thing that one day, don't you guys think that somehow one day beer mug is going to be on the news for something dumb?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Probably dead.
Well, we you know agree, what I mean? But I'm just saying he's the kind of guy that is going to do something. I don't know what it is yet, but at some point we're going to see him. He's going to be the guy, the homeless hitchhiker with a hatchet. He's going to be that guy or something. I don't know what he's going to be.
Cuts his foot off with a weed whacker, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Here was a man who was arrested after spending the night inside a Mount Washington, Kentucky grocery store. He broke in, I guess, through the ceiling.
Sure.
And listen to what he did while he was in overnight. This is kind of – it's kind of interesting to think about. What would you do, Kevin, if you had broken into a grocery store and you were the only one in there all night long? Would you just go crazy and just eat whatever you wanted because it was free?
I don't understand the idea of not trying to get back out.
Well
– why wouldn't you try to get back out?
I mean, he wanted to go in, right?
In other words, break in, rob it or something, take what you want and then leave so that you don't get caught, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't there to rob it?
No. Well – I don't know if he was and he just got distracted by all the pretty things or what happened.
Sidetracked.
But he sneaked into the store and then, the lights go down, they close up. He sneaks into the store. The video shows that he then drank some beer, smoked some cigarettes.
Fantastic.
Cooked and ate 6 steaks.
Wow, he was hungry.
Wait, how did he cook them? He went into the deli?
It doesn't say what kind of, you know, maybe this is one of those, like the grocery store that I have also has like a little food counter where you can go and you can, you know, you can get sandwiches and things
he
like that. So
took the time to cook steaks.
Maybe he found hibachi.
Six steaks.
Yeah, maybe he did. That's a good point, Kevin. Maybe he just pulled something off the shelf and cooked. Six steaks after beer. Then he had some shrimp.
Yeah.
Then he helped himself to a birthday cake.
This does sound more like beer mugs.
Okay, now you're in my aisle.
He also allegedly soiled himself. And then found clothes in the store to change into. Maybe they sold, you know, work pants or something like that. He also, and here's the best part of the story, he also consumed 57 cans of whipped cream.
Whippets.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
57 cans of whipped cream. Could you survive a night with steak, shrimp, birthday cake, beer, and 57 cans of whipped cream?
Wow. Awesome.
Maybe this speaks to your point as to why he never left the store. He climbed into the rafters and went to sleep and was still there when the customer, the employees arrived the next day to open up the store.
So, love it.
There you go. Good times, right?
That will be Bimrug.
57-year-old man. I think Burma can pull something like this off
long man. Before he
gets... Yeah, exactly.
That's someone's grandpa. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That sounds really constructive.
Thank you. Guy eaten by a hippo. We got that for you.
Oh, my God.
Guy, hippo.
You know who wins?
Hippo.
Hippo.
Yeah, hippo plus man equals hippo. That is true.
We are going to have the movie beat because it's Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. And Ralph has actually seen Star Trek, so he'll have something to say about that.
Speaking of movies, we have Katie Azleton on the show, who is the director. I'm going to start that over. Speaking of movies, we have Katie Azleton on the program today, who is the director and star of Black Rock.
We'll edit that out for by the time it hits the air. By the way, Lisa, she is married to and co-wrote the film with Mark Duplass.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, everybody
he's so
loves
funny.
Him.
Funny.
He's awesome.
I don't know who he is.
He's in everything. He started in that Safety Not Guaranteed movie that we all like so much. He wrote and was starting that, but he also is a regular on The Mindy Show, and you'd recognize his face if you saw him. He's in The League also. He co-stars with his wife on The League, and he's great in everything.
Also, Ralph decided yesterday that he was going to start a new business. And not that we don't have faith in him, but we're going to do a call-in topic today of business startup disasters.
Oh, yeah.
Bean
the phones will be full.
Bean had one that is spectacular.
I did. I did flame out early. Yeah.
It was a worm
holocaust at Bean's house.
It was horrible.
But, guys, and we'll talk about this more when we get there, but that's the American dream is that any person who has the motivation – you know, and is willing to put in the time and effort, can start a business. Bill Gates was just a schmo living in the suburbs. And you can turn, you know, you can turn ambition into, you know, wealth and success and happiness if you stick to it.
You can also turn it into to hell.
The worm holocaust, right?
Yeah. good times. So we got that coming up as well today. And we've got your tickets in the pit and backstage passes.
Cool.
For the K-Rock Reunion Roast 2013. That's coming up. We'll do the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning show. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Last night's King Sharks game.
Yes.
Shows why when hockey is at its best, it's the best sport in the world.
Agreed.
What a finish.
I can't imagine people don't like it. That's one of those things I don't
can't
get.
Either.
I know a lot of people don't. I just don't get it.
Boy, since my Flyers been out of it, I'm back in my adopted home of Los Angeles' Kings, and I'll tell you something. What a game last night. What an amazing comeback.
It was amazing.
With 2 minutes left.
Scored 2 goals in 22 seconds.
Yeah, not too shabby. Good times. All right, let's give away. You know, let me try that again. You know, the one thing I love about hockey is it's often fast and furious.
Whoa! Yeah!
So, in the honor of the big Kings victory last night.
Yeah, what's up?
Let's give away some tickets to Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. I've got passes to the Los Angeles premiere of Fast and Furious 6. Happens Tuesday, May the 21st at Universal City Walk. The movie's in theaters everywhere May the 24th on Friday, but you'll be amongst the first to see it if you want to see the latest in the Fast and Furious franchise. Why not call me right now at 1-800-520-1067 and get a pair of tickets. First five callers who get through that phone number will get a pair of tickets. You get to see the movie starring Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Michelle Rodriguez returns as well. Bean yesterday said that the movie took place in between two of the previous films.
That's what I read. I read that was one explanation for how she was dead and now she's not.
And then I heard from the studio saying that's not the case.
No.
What'd they say?
They said it's a legitimate
but
sequel.
But she was dead.
A legitimate sequel. Look. Look.
We only thought she was dead.
Look.
All right.
Look.
Just asking.
Look
at
what? I did not write the film.
All right.
I have not seen the film. I have no answers for you. I'm just saying what they told me, man.
Hey, I didn't know. I've never seen any of them. I'm just telling you guys what I read. So
I got Bean trying to sabotage me over
I'm
here.
I'm not sabotaging you.
Sabotage.
Although I will tell you this, Ralph. I got an email yesterday from our old friend Lightning. Remember former producer Lightning?
Yeah, sure I do. Hey, Jim, how you doing? I know, 50 pounds, yeah.
Subject line, Fast and Furious. Remember, before the first movie, I was so excited you guys mocked me. I said it was going to be a blockbuster. You guys mocked me endlessly. Now, six movies later, who would have thunk?
Really? He was mouthing off now?
Yeah. Yes, he's been holding on to that grudge for a long time.
I think Lightning misses us. Periodically he'll do that.
Hey, how about this? You guys just did that. How about that?
That was an offhanded comment.
Can you still work here?
It was probably an offhanded comment that one of us made, and he has harbored ill will
since then. He couldn't understand why we weren't as excited about seeing the original Fast and Furious movies. He was because he thought it was going to be the greatest movie ever. He just
and for him,
wait.
It probably was.
It probably was because it had cars.
Cars
yeah.
driving
that
fast.
That is classic.
All right. Take it easy. So I guess we owe him an apology?
We better get him on the phone then, straighten this whole thing out. This is like
hate to have bad blood.
This is like the Benghazi scandal. We got to get to the bottom of this and figure out what's going on. Speaking of movies, whew, big dust up in England. Over the weekend, I don't know if you heard about it, two rival gangs came to blows. It was very violent.
What?
Yeah, two rival gangs. A Star Wars fan club and a Doctor Who fan club squared off against each other and came to
with
blows.
With protractors?
Came to blows, man.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
Violent argument.
Game.
Cops showed up. Everything's nuts. It all happened at the Norwich Star Wars Club. Apparently, they had a guest actor from the Doctor Who series named Graham Cole, who was there. So the Doctor Who fans show up to try to meet him and get autographs. And the Star Wars clubs are like, nuh-uh, this is our guy. It's our turf. You Whovians, get off our turf, man. And they were like, no way, Star Wars guys. And then boom, bang, boom, bang.
There wasn't a real fight.
There was booming and banging, according to police.
So Ralph, if you
nerds
had
can throw down, man.
Nope. If you had been there, who would you have sided with?
Well, listen, I love me some Doctor Who. But Star Wars have blasters and lightsabers. I mean, they're just going to win. You know, Doc's just got his sonic screwdriver. You know how it is.
I don't know what a sonic screwdriver
maybe
is.
Maybe if K-9 was there, maybe if you could get in the TARDIS and go back in time before the altercation happened and disarm the Star Wars people.
I withdraw the question.
I don't even know what that is.
And hors d'oeuvre, Farrah Abraham.
Who?
Farrah Abramson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Farrah Abramson. Is in the middle of a cat fight with her former castmate, Caitlin Lowell. She's another one of the teen moms.
I hate to see them not getting along.
Me too. Caitlin has stepped forward and says she is not impressed by the sex tape that Farrah just released.
Maybe you should one-up her.
That in her performance she sounds like, and I quote, a dying horse. Take the S out of there and maybe you got something.
So she watched it.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, Farrah came back and said, you know what? I know what jealousy looks like.
It's on.
Two snaps and a circle. Farrah then added, wait for it, this is the punchline. She feels bad about Caitlin's remarks because she's trying to be a role model for other teen moms.
What? Yes!
Yes.
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 Yes. Teen moms out there, first thing you do, just start boning on camera. That's the role model,
Farrah Abramson.
Disappointed those two can't get along because they have so much in common, like having unprotected sex as teenagers.
That's true. And last night, I don't know if you caught it, was the farewell episode of The Office. It's all over there.
I did watch that.
You what?
I haven't watched it yet.
I feel terrible now because it was pretty funny, and now I wish I had been watching more of it this season.
Oh,
my
goodness.
They're still capable of doing that.
Bean says every time there's a series finale.
I didn't know that existed. Why was that so good?
Seinfeld was great.
Why
didn't anyone tell me?
I looked into that.
I mean, it was too long, and it had some other problems, but I'm glad I saw it. It was very heartwarming.
Steve Carell did show up. Right. He was the best man at the wedding reception between Dwight and Angela. They finally got married, so he showed up and said the quote about Dwight and Angela getting married. Michael Scott said, I feel like all my kids grew up and then married each other. It's every parent's dream. So, nice appearance by Steve Carell. And lastly, congratulations to Iron Man 3. Yesterday, it crossed the $1 billion mark at the box office.
It was just released like 2 weeks ago, right?
It's been 23 days. 23 days. Yeah.
Experts
are now predicting it'll be the fifth highest grossing film of all time when all is said and done. So, congratulations to Robert Downey Jr. and company. Not
a billion dollars used to be tough to get to.
Oh, I think it still is.
I think there's only like a dozen films that have ever made $1 billion, but that's a lot considering
it is a lot.
It's $1 billion.
But almost all of them have been within the last 3 years. I'm just saying it's becoming more common than it certainly used to be. That's for sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Bill Paxton is 58 years old today. Our buddy Bob Saget celebrates his 57th birthday, as does boxing legend Sugar Ray Leonard. Craig Ferguson is 51 years old today. Trent Reznor turns 48. Actress Nikki Reed is 25. You know who puts this list together for me every morning?
Yeah, I think it's the King of Mexico.
Yeah, the King of Mexico. Yeah. You know how I can tell, even if no one had told me how I... his little...
how would you know that?
Which clipper is on the list?
His little chubby fingerprints are all over this list. You know how I know that?
How?
Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan is 28 years old today. Yeah. Yeah, we got Matt Ryan's birthday on the celebrity birthday list.
Wow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
JK!
Ralph Garman has the movie beat coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, you guys ever been out river rafting and you fall into the water and then you end up being swallowed up almost whole by a hippo? Did that ever happen to you?
A couple times when I was younger.
Yeah. I've missed that the thrill. But apparently Paul Templer, who was a river guide taking tourists down the Zambezi River in Zimbabwe, try saying that sentence drunk, by the way, had that exact experience. He is now a motivational speaker. And I guess you got to give the guy some credit for surviving what happened. Here's a little bit of his talk about that magic day.
I picked up the clients a little earlier on that afternoon at their hotels. There was a middle-aged married couple from Germany and two young couples from France. I would always start with a safety talk. You see, this could be quite tricky, as I didn't want to scare anyone. But I needed to make sure that they understood that out there in the wild, we were the intruders. And that on the river, there was always the chance that things could go horribly wrong.
I love the music, by the way. It helps.
Everyone was just having a wonderful time. Sipping on their cocktails, munching on their finger snacks. A little while later, we came across a pod of about a dozen hippo. They were all just wallowing in the shallows. I started telling Joe and Gundy a little bit about hippos. I didn't want to scare Gundy, so I didn't mention that hippos are responsible for killing more people than any other animal.
I don't know, I would kind of want somebody to mention that, I think, to me.
Bring it up.
Then I led the way to the narrow channel that would take us safely past the danger.
Now, Kevin, you've been to Africa,
yes.
And you've been on those tourists, those tourist deals where you get pretty close to the wildlife. And
really close,
didn't you tell us when you got back that the impression you had was that those animals could kill you if they wanted to?
Any second.
Right.
And not think about it. No one would care. Just, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just dangerous.
Yeah.
And this guy knows it's dangerous, yet he still chooses to take tourists down the river in Zimbabwe to ooh and ah at the hippos. So do we feel bad for him?
I don't know yet.
Okay, all right. Well, another guide. He's in the lead boat. There's three boats going down the river packed with tourists. He's in the lead boat. The guide in the boat behind him somehow fell into the water, and that's where he picks up the story.
Oh, no, get to the back.
Ben, get everyone to the rocks.
Paddling towards Evans. Hang in there. I'm coming to get you. I leant over to grab a hold of his outstretched hand, and as our fingers almost touched, my world went dark and strangely quiet. A few very long seconds ticked by as I tried to figure out what was going on. From my waist up, I was not dry, but I wasn't wet either, not like my legs were. I was head first, up to my waist, down a hippo's throat.
Okay,
oh my
so that
God.
Is not where you want to be. That's not ideal.
So he didn't see it coming or anything? He just ended up halfway inside a hippo? Jeez.
Yes, from his waist up.
And what radio play are we listening to?
I know. They did go a little bit overboard with the sound effects and the band, didn't they? It turned out, by the way, that the hippo apparently swallowed him, spit him out, caught him again, spit him up, threw him up in the air.
Oh.
He ended up with almost 40 puncture wounds and bite marks on his body.
That isn't good for you.
He was mauled so badly, by the way, that his lungs were visible.
Oh, my.
His lungs were visible.
I can't even picture that.
Think about that. So he finally gets free for however that happens. I don't know. The hippo is playing with him. And I'm sure for him it felt like he was in the water an hour. This entire thing probably happened in a course of a few seconds, I would imagine. So he's finally free and he shakes loose and he starts to evaluate the condition that he's in. And you're in shock at this point. You're stunned and you're in shock and you have no idea. You haven't seen your body. You don't know what's going on. You just know something ain't right, right?
I remember looking up and I could see the different hues of green and yellow, the sunlight shimmering on the water's surface. I watched my blood mingle with the water.
Okay, so he finally gets to the shore now, and now he can really see what's happening.
I made the mistake of taking a look at myself. My one arm from the elbow up, it had been crushed to a pulp, and from the elbow down, it had been stripped of all its flesh.
What do you do in this situation? You just give up and die, I would imagine, right? I mean, how do you survive something like that?
I run back toward that hippo. Just give him the rest.
And say, look, just finish me off.
Just do it.
Just shoot me like a dog that's been hit by a car on the side of the street. Just put me out of my misery. Well, let's see what his thought process was.
Then a strange thing happened. I went incredibly calm and all the pain went away. And I knew that it was my moment of choice.
Die.
I knew right there and then, I could shut my eyes, I could drift off, I could call it a day.
That's my choice.
Or I could fight my way through this and I could stick around.
Well, he's still alive, so he must have done that.
The choice I made brought with it more pain than I could have ever believed that I could endure.
I can guess that.
The pain was so intense that I thought for sure I was going to die. And then when I didn't, there were moments when I wished that I would, just to escape that excruciating agony. 8 hours later, we made it to the hospital in the nearby town of Bulawayo.
Okay, that's my favorite part. 8 hours later, they made it to the hospital in the nearby town, by the way. 8 hours. It's unbelievable that this guy is alive. And when I tell you what happened next, in that he recovered, lost that arm that had been crushed, went back to being a tour guide on the river in Zimbabwe with one arm.
If my tour guide has one arm, I'm asking for another boat.
Right, exactly.
Come on.
It turned out that one of the apprentice tour guides, by the way, in that same incident with the hippo, did turn up dead. His body was not found until 2 days after the attack. The culprit hippo was never tracked down and never killed. But Templer, the guy we've been listening to, the tour guide, says that he led another expedition down the same stretch of the river, and he saw what he believes is that same hippo 2 years later. Quote, I screamed so loudly that those with me said they'd never heard anything like it. He dived back under and was never seen again. I bet my life savings it was the same hippo, determined to have the final word.
Yeah, one-armed guy. You really scared that hippo. Come on.
So, good or bad? What's the verdict on this one?
Nice job, dumbass.
There you go. Yeah. Pat Robertson, who's on the 700 Club and is like 100 years old, answers viewer mail where he gives advice on how to have a happy life.
Oh, right?
Oh, I can imagine.
Wait till you hear what he had to say to a viewer who wanted to know how to forgive her cheating husband. Wait till you hear what his response to her was. That's coming up next here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means Ralph Garman is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Is this the same Pat Robinson who said that earthquakes and hurricanes were caused by gay people?
I believe so. He's got a lot of good theories based on his knowledge of the Bible, yes.
I just want to make sure we're talking about the same guy. This weekend at the movies, everyone is just giving up. They're like, oh, Star Trek's coming out? Okay, well, we'll be over here. If you need us, we'll be right over here. There's three smaller films in limited release coming out this weekend. Then, of course, Star Trek Into Darkness, which opened yesterday. Let's talk about some of the smaller films first, like The English Teacher, comedy drama, a dramedy, if you will.
Sure.
Or a comma. It's probably a dramedy.
Yeah.
Featuring Julianne Moore as an English teacher whose life is disrupted when a former student of hers returns to her small town in Pennsylvania, played by Michael Angarano. He's a playwright. He's gone to New York, and he's failed, and he's returned with his tail between his legs. She has to deal with him and his overbearing father, played by Greg Kinnear. Looks like a great cast. Nathan Lane also in this cast.
Oh, wow.
Looks very entertaining, very funny. Small little film. Michael Angarano, by the way, great actor. I worked with him in Red State. He was one of the kids in Red State in Kevin Smith's film. Lily Collins also stars in the film. Here are some clips from the trailer of The English Teacher.
I thought you'd be tearing up Broadway by now.
I wrote my thesis play.
It's a very, very personal story.
Jason, what if there were a way to get it produced right now?
Oh, that's so extraordinary. I feel I've been transformed.
This is not a high school play.
This is from a man who thinks American Buffalo is about an American buffalo.
That's what it's called.
Well, in the words of David Mamet.
Hey! Yeah, pal!
Now, time out. The ending sucks.
You said you'd love the ending.
Well, you know, I do make mistakes, as you know.
Sounds cute.
It does.
Yep.
Come on, Kevin.
I'm in.
Open up. Oh, at least it's about theater and gay
what,
people and
me?
English teachers and everything.
I love
oh,
this movie more.
My goodness.
You couldn't be talking less to me.
Black Rock opens up this weekend in limited release as well.
It's about, terrifying.
About three childhood friends who reunite for a girls' weekend on a remote island off of the coast of Maine. Listen, we all know nothing good ever happens on remote islands off of major states. We know that.
That's true.
That's where the creepy people live.
And that's true,
bad
Ralph.
Bad things happen. Kate Asselton, Lake Bell, Kate Bosworth. A lot of Kates in this movie. Star in the film. The weekend getaway turns into a bad, bad time. The girls have to fight for their very survival. Here's a scene from the movie where the girls find an old treasure map. Sounds like fun, right? No!
This is our map. Look it. We are here.
This isn't going to take us anywhere.
Yeah, it is.
Do you see what this is showing us?
No, it's pretty self-explanatory. No. This is us.
Oh, obviously.
This is Shoebill's tent.
And you
remember?
Take four then dashes to the left,
right?
And then you're at the fort and the time capsule.
I checked it out. I mean, is the coordinates are right.
Avi, dude, don't
seriously think of it like an adventure,
dude,
guys.
I'm good. I'm just questioning the.
I hear that, but it's great, Sarah. Sarah, this is great. Let's do it.
Ah! Erased opens up this weekend. Aaron Eckhart plays an ex-CIA agent. He and his estranged daughter are forced to go on the run when his employers erase all records of his existence. You know what happens? You know what it means when they do that? When they wipe your existence from the records. I mean, soon they're going to wipe your body from the planet. That's what happens.
Covering their tracks early.
Yeah, so he's got to go on the run with his daughter and reestablish their relationship. Aaron Eckhart, as I mentioned, stars. Also, Olga Kurylenko, who I just love.
How do we know her?
Former Bond girl. She's also the star of Magic City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a beautiful and talented actress. Here are some clips from the trailer of Erased.
Former local operative killed on a roadside. Ben Logan. Your operative.
Ben was decommissioned 6 months ago. He'd grown a conscience.
Can you find him?
I'll get on it.
Why would someone you work with try to kill us?
I don't know what's going on here.
He's just an engineer.
CIA Black Ops.
I don't even know who you are.
The safest place for you to be right now is at my side. If he has her, I want her. If he's harmed her, he's dead.
And lastly, this weekend, Star Trek Into Darkness opened up yesterday. I happened to see this particular film, directed by J.J. Abrams, the second in his rebooted Star Trek franchise. Benedict Cumberbatch also stars as the villain of the piece. Chris Pine returns as Captain James T. Kirk. Zachary Quinto is Spock. Zoe Saldana as Uhura. It's about the crew of the Enterprise coming across an unstoppable enemy. And also a threat from within their own organization of Starfleet. This is a very impressive film. Visually, it is stunning. I saw it in 3D. I recommend it if you're going to check it out to find it in IMAX or 3D if you can, because it's really visually a stunning, stunning film. Very entertaining. A lot going for it. However, I did have some problems with the film in the sense that I feel it was a missed opportunity. If you're going to reboot the Star Trek franchise, and I think the first one did a great job of sort of separating itself from the previous Star Trek works by saying this is not your father's Star Trek, this is a brand new crew and a brand new feel and vibe to the franchise, a reinvention, if you will.
Wasn't like the series or the movies,
right? This film, however, leans heavily on previously previously filmed material from the Star Trek franchise. I understand you have to give a certain amount of that. People are expecting a certain amount of homage, if you will, when you watch this. You want Bones to say, damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a fill-in-the-blank. You want to see, you know, Chekhov saying nuclear vessels, and you want to you want them to be the characters that you've known and grown to love over all these decades. However, they go back and they reimagine some existing franchise material that does the whole project a disservice, in my opinion. So some of it feels a little too familiar, a little
too much of that,
a little too warmed over, a little too we've been here before kind of vibe. And I think because the screenplay lacks a certain amount of originality, it really is a detriment to the film. And I think it's hard to say too much about this without being a spoiler, so I'm trying to avoid certain aspects of it. But if you go to see the film, if you know anything about Star Trek, you will start to recognize certain characters, moments, scenes from previous Star Trek
incarnations. There's no whale, is there, Ralph?
There is no whale.
Okay, good.
But you will recognize certain moments and say, oh, well, that's just sort of exactly like that thing we saw last time. So that kind of pulls you out of it because you're constantly comparing what you're watching to previous versions of Star Trek, which is not a helpful movie experience. So that being said, overall, it's a lot of fun. It's great action, amazing special effects. There's a lot good going for this film. However, I think there's some big flaws that keep it from being great. So it's just good, which is fine. You know,
good,
I think you'll enjoy
for
it.
Me.
Here's the scene from the opening of the film where Kirk is trying to retrieve Spock from a volcano on an alien planet. He is trying to stop the volcano from exploding to exterminate the species that lives on this planet. Spock is inside the volcano. Kirk's trying to get him out to save his friend's life.
Spock!
I have activated the device, Captain. When the countdown is complete, the reaction should render the volcano inert.
Yeah, and that's going to render him inert.
I need to beam Spock back to the ship. Give me one way to do it.
Maybe if we had a direct line of sight.
Hold on, wee man. You're talking about an active volcano, sir.
Such action violates the prime directive.
Shut up, Spock. We're trying to save you, damn it.
Try to get him back online.
90 seconds to detonations.
Spock, we're here and I were there. What would he do?
He'd let you die.
Ah! No, he doesn't. He doesn't let him die. Spoiler.
Oh, I say spoiler first.
First 2 minutes of the film. What do you think? They're going to kill Spock off?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's an entertaining film. Like I said, a little disappointed, but otherwise had a good time when I saw Star Trek Into Darkness, so you can check that out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
This is the time of year where we get a lot of emails, tweets, Facebook messages saying, hey guys, what's up with the Weenie Roast? I need to know this. Are you going to be broadcasting it on the radio? Are you going to be showing it on the Kirek.com? What time are the set listings going to be?
I got a person tweeted me a picture of a backpack and said, is this backpack going to be allowed?
I thought, am I really the person you go to for that? First of all, don't come to me for any information. Second of all, not about that. Well, we do put it all in one convenient location for you because it's there's a lot to impart if you are going to the show or just interested in seeing or watching the show. You can get all those details at KROQ.com. And by the way, most importantly, yeah, even if you weren't able to buy tickets to the KROQ Weenie Rose 2013, you can see the show and you can control this new special 360 camera on all the main stage acts. So you can really kind of make your own broadcast. So it's going to be amazing. The webcast kicks off at noon tomorrow from the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, and we're going to be out there all day long, and we're super looking forward to that. All right, Pat Robertson, you guys know the name. He's in his 80s now. He started the Christian Broadcasting Network. He's been a major voice, I think, and for the religious right for many, many years. He hosts the 700 Club, which is a very popular program, and he gets letters from time to time from people who are asking his advice on how to handle things in their life.
Don't you get the idea that the religious right occasionally goes, listen, you're on your own?
Well,
we don't want you speaking for us.
He didn't do well when he ran for president, so that suggests that a lot of people are willing to watch his show but maybe not vote him into office. But I think we finally have found an issue that we can agree on with Pat. Here's the letter, first of all, his co-host reading this on the 700 Club.
Ivy writes in and says, I've been trying to forgive my husband for cheating on me. We've gone to counseling, but I just can't seem to forgive, nor can I trust. How do you let go of anger, and how do you trust again? God says to forgive, but it's been so hard to do. I want to forgive. So we can get on with our lives.
All right, here's the secret.
Okay.
And this is the secret.
All right, what do you guys think Pat's going to say?
Because secret.
Because my opinion, at least I know you're with me here, is that if a man cheats, it's usually because the woman is doing something wrong. Right.
It's her failure. Completely.
It's usually her failure to please him, right?
Email Bean at krock.com.
What do you think, Pat? What do you think Pat's got up his sleeve for this one, Kevin?
Wow.
Don't you just pray away the anger?
Pray away the anger?
I really can't guess what he would say about this.
I like our new game, What Will Pat Say? Yeah. By the way, we should try that. All right, let's find out.
Stop talking about the cheating. He cheated on you. Well, he's a man. Okay. So what you do is begin to focus on why you married him in the first place.
Okay.
On what he does good. Does he provide a home for you to live in?
Check.
Does he provide food for you to eat?
Check.
Does he provide clothes for you to wear?
See, Lisa, stop focusing on the negative. Wait, what's with you bitches?
I love his assumption that she works not at all, and contributes in no way. He has no idea.
Is he really going to say, hey, he's paying for everything, so shut up? There's no way he's going to say
it. Why are you a hater? Stop focusing on the negative. Let's look at the good things your man does. Yeah, over here he's doing that, but over here he's doing this. Come on.
And essentially fall in love with him all over again. And I recommend you reach out and touch him. Touch his face. Touch his face. Hold his hand. Look into his eyes. Talk to him. But it's you. You're praying, oh God, keep me not to hate him for what he did when he was with that stripper in that hotel room 10 years ago, and I'll never forgive him kind of thing. Please help me. So what are you focusing on? You're focusing on the thing that makes you mad.
Come on, get off my neck, lady. What's up? Let it go.
It happened 10 years ago, which he also doesn't know, I don't think.
I don't think he has any idea, no.
Yeah, he's just speaking in general terms here. So if your husband cheats on you, ladies, when he comes home, touch his face, look into his eyes, fall in love with him all over
and
again.
And remember that he's the only breadwinner. He's the only person that can live.
You would die without him.
He is your oxygen, ladies. Wow. One more pat now from the 700 Club.
Stop that. Start focusing on the good stuff. So think about those things and give him honor instead of trying to worry about it.
Thank you.
But recognize also, like it or not, males have a tendency to wander a little bit. And what you want to do is to make a home so wonderful that he doesn't want to wander.
That's what you got to do, Lisa, is make your home so wonderful that he doesn't want to wander. See, what's wrong with you?
Is this from 1970?
This was Monday.
Monday.
Monday this happened.
But think of the temptations that are out there. The internet is filled with pornography. The magazines are filled with pictures, salacious pictures of women. You look anywhere you turn around, there's some solicitation to the senses to entice a man.
It's not our guy's fault. It's not our fault. Look at the world we're in, Lisa. What do you expect from us? We're only human.
Do we think Pat's fighting something a little bit here? Maybe something personal going on there
that he doesn't want to really mention?
Uh-huh. Quick, somebody check Pat Robertson's browser. This is bad news for longtime Kevin and Bean fans. Ralph Garman may be leaving us soon because he's come up with a plan. He's finally figured out after, 13 years now? Something like that, Ralph? You figured out a way out of this dump.
Yep. It's fail-proof as well, which I think is good.
I agree. I think it's going to be a monster hit, and I think my mustache boutique will be the hit of Los Angeles. Everyone will come from miles around.
I think that's what we were talking about.
I will do personalized mustache grooming.
Ralph will explain his for real new business venture, and we'll try to talk him out of it when we return here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, no time for the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Remember when it used to be a thing? When people cared who the American Idol was?
Yes. It used to be a huge deal. It was the television event of the year on American Idol.
Those days have come and gone.
Is that show still on?
Did someone win?
Candace Glover's our new American Idol.
Woo! Oh, he or she is awesome.
I was so pulling for Candace Glover. She beat out Cree Harrison.
Oh, poor Cree. She was good, too.
Cree. What are you going to do, Cree? I don't know anything.
They just had their finale?
I guess last night it all came to a close. And, I guess it was Cree versus Candace. And Candace beat Cree.
Now, the other reason that used to be a big event, Ralph, is we used to hear about all the great guest stars they were going to have. And they would put, you know, No Doubt would be on the show and Aerosmith would be playing all these bands that, you know, was going to be kind of a special evening. Do they do any of that anymore?
Yes. The big finale show had Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
Wow.
They took a skip loader and brought her in out on the stage.
For the crane.
Jennifer Lopez performed. How'd they get her?
How'd they get her?
Oh, wait a minute. She used to be a judge. Pitbull.
Okay.
All right.
So they're
My
still trying.
My music plus hot women, 150% better.
He came out and talked about Bud Light.
Yeah.
Psy was there.
Oh, great.
Singing his new smash hit, Gentleman.
Okay.
Which sounds nothing at all like
Gangnam Style. Not a bit.
It's very different. In case you forget what Gentleman sounds like, it sounds like something you're not going to hear.
Well, that's exactly the same.
Yeah, he did that. He did Mato Vato Gentleman, whatever that means in Korean. And so the whole thing was very exciting, I'm sure.
It was across the street from the Kings game.
Oh, was it?
It was blocked off, and everybody, all the people were going there. And I was thinking to myself, I would kill myself if I had to go to American Idol instead of the Kings.
Was there a crowd? Did anybody still even cared?
I think it was later. I don't know.
America yawned.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, she is furiously making plans to take her newborn child on a world tour because Kanye West has planned to hit the road in the fall when the baby will just be a few months old. That's healthy both for mother and child.
That's great.
I recommend immediately when you have a baby, plan a giant international tour and make sure the baby spends a lot of time on airplanes where the air and germs are circulated in through a circular ventilation system, and also a lot of altitude for the child and a lot of insecurity, a lot of places, moving it from place to place, a lot of questionable scheduling.
Babies love unfamiliarity, Ralph.
That's
come
right.
on,
One
man.
Thing they hate is anything regular or scheduled.
Here's a tip. He planned a tour that way for a reason.
Well, she's not letting him get away with it because she is packing up the pablum and the child and the pumps and everything, and she's gone with him. So there's no escape for Kanye. Good thing he's not a celebrity.
That is true.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
And congratulations to Star Trek Into Darkness. It's already sold out for the weekend for over 400 showings, by the way, across the country.
Wow.
Estimates are that the movie will open, with pre-sales alone, with over $80 million this weekend.
So it's already won the weekend, and it's only Friday morning.
That's right. Exactly.
All right.
We don't even know yet. Next weekend, when you add in the overseas markets, and all told, they're saying it should be well close to its production cost, which was $190 million. So, good stuff. Chris Pine's fans will be there. You know, Pine has a hardcore fan base of ladies who think he's dreamy. He is pretty dreamy, by the way.
Yeah.
And why did you turn your own microphone off?
Long story.
No, it's not a long story. Why did you turn your own microphone off?
Trust me, it's not worth it.
His fans, you know what they call themselves?
No, what?
Come on.
What?
Guess. Guess what Chris Pine's fans call themselves.
Well, I mean, I would think Piners.
Close. Pine Nuts.
Oh,
nice.
They're pine nuts.
I like it.
Genuinely, I like it.
He's so bummed he's not a pine nut. Because, you know, he loves being a fanalo and a playmate.
He
so desperately wants to be a pine nut.
The rest of us were going, what a terrible idea. And me's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I love that.
That's a pun and a vaguely homosexual fan base. Two of my favorite things.
I'm a fan of both. That's all I look for. I want to be a pine nut. I'm so sad.
This is magical.
That's true.
How do you make the decision every day not to kill yourself when you just hear yourself speak?
Talking to me or B?
B.
Okay. Because every day I wake up and I find out there's something magical in the world that I didn't know about before. Like, today was worth living because now I know there's a thing called a pine nut. Yeah. And that just amuses me so much, I'm happy to be alive.
I'd like to kick you right in the pine nuts. Today's celebrity birthday is Bill Paxton. He is 58 years old today. Comedian and actor, friend of the show, Bob Saget, turns 57, as does Sugar Ray Leonard. Maybe the best boxer I've ever seen.
Certainly one of them.
The peak of his skills, he was remarkable. Hand speed, power, just grace, just agility. He had the whole package right there, Sugar Ray. Craig Ferguson, 51 years old today. Trent Reznor, 48. Nikki Reed, the lovely and talented actress, 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 is tomorrow at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Yes.
I've got nothing to wear.
You can listen to K-Rock every hour and should starting at 9 o'clock this morning all the way until 8 o'clock. So we're giving away tickets all the way almost until you have to leave to drive.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff. Hey, listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Ooh, it's sold out, Dave.
You don't come down. You just listen. We're going to be giving them away every hour on the radio today,
Yeah,
Dave.
But where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there...
You just call in. Yeah. You just pick up the phone and call when we ask you to call in. That's how you get the ticket.
Yeah, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
don't go there without tickets. Get tickets first.
Yeah, and where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I think there are.
Probably. I would think so.
I also know how far it is.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Right. Thanks,
I'd love
Dave.
To introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Now they it's Coachella. That was
surprisingly they're not playing.
Sorry, Dave. Ralph, I'm glad you're in here because I was thinking about you last night.
How far is the festival from? The Marriott, Palm Desert, do you know?
Well, from Palm Desert,
it's like 100 miles.
Quite a haul.
It's about 100 miles.
You might want to stay somewhere in the Irvine area.
I was thinking about you last night, Ralph, because I thought, I'm sitting here on my couch having a great time.
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Noon. Yeah. Around noon, things kick off. We'll be on the radio noon.
All right, thank you, Dave. You got
to
move on.
Noon to three tomorrow.
So I'm on the couch, and I'm watching The Office, the finale. It's me and Veruca, and we're having a nice evening. And I'm thinking right now, Ralph is being screamed at and threatened with divorce by his poor wife as he tries to explain that he wants to give up his lucrative show business career to open up some sort of an ice cream stand.
Well, look, let's face it. My showbiz career is an abject failure. And so it's time to start thinking about Plan B. It's time to move on. It's time to reinvent myself.
And yesterday you found Plan
B? Like Madonna, I'm going to reinvent myself. And it's time for my second act.
All right.
And they say there's no second acts in America, but I'm going to prove them wrong.
All right.
I am putting the wheels in motion. And I'll have you know my wife did not scream and yell at me. She was... I wouldn't say receptive to the idea, but she didn't reject the idea outright. She's willing to investigate the possibility.
So she humored you by pretending that it was a possibility that you guys are going to open up an ice cream store.
Yeah, first of all, it's not an ice cream store.
Well, whatever you call
die.
It.
It's an ice cream truck.
It's
you drive
not
around,
a truck.
Kidnap
it's,
kids.
It's water ice.
It's water
okay,
ice.
Here we go again with that.
We had the people from Rita's Italian Ice in yesterday. They were kind enough to bring us some Italian water ice.
Why would I want to buy some ice from war?
No. And so this is a Philadelphia thing, and it's an East Coast thing, and they're starting to branch out in California. And they've been they're talking about opening franchises of Rita's water ice in California. So I said to myself, this is a product I know and love. Mm-hmm. This is something I can be passionate about.
It's a Philly thing, so you got
it's
that.
It's a Philly thing. I got that angle going. I said, this is kismet. This is opportunity meeting possibility. And this is a great idea. I am going to become an Italian ice mogul. I am going to open up a Rita's water ice stand. And
okay.
I am going to be the king of the Italian water ice.
But, Ralph, it's one thing to have an Italian, what do you call it, a wart ice? To have a wart ice.
Water.
And
that's
enjoy
how Philadelphia would say water.
Water.
And enjoy it and go, hey, as a consumer, I appreciate that this product exists, and I'm happy to put down my $2 and buy what I like.
Right.
Okay, it's a very different thing.
If I'm willing to do that, think of the millions of Americans who will be
willing to
do that as well.
Right, but what I'm saying, it's a very different deal to be on the other side of that counter, to be the person who's responsible for those employees and that equipment and that insurance and those regulations and the parking and the everything else that goes into running a business
that's
and the
fine.
Paperwork.
No. I am glad that you are a small-minded person who has those fears because
it's not easy to start and run a business.
For the rest of us who are bold because fortune favors the bold, and those of us who are willing to take the step, that's how we, the few, the proud, the water ice, achieve greatness.
And so I am going to open up a water ice store, and I am going to
A mogul, first of all.
I am going to become a huge success. And when you guys read about me in the Fortune 500.
Will you give us a free water ice?
I will. You come down, I'll scoop you myself. I'll scoop you
by
a cherry
way,
water ice.
The way that you're saying that, it makes us focus on that instead of what a stupid name it is to name ice water.
Well, that's a colloquialism from Philadelphia, the water ice. I believe that it's officially called the Italian ice.
The Italian ice.
Yeah,
okay.
Rita's Italian ice, I believe, is the actual name of the product. But I'm saying, not to mention, just the mere mention of it yesterday when they came in, I was mentioning how delicious it was, that the Twitterverse exploded with East Coasters who said, oh my God, that's a thing? You can get that out here? Where can I go to have some delicious water ice?
And by exploded, you mean like three tweets?
No, tons of tweets. And I was so impressed by the response of the general populace. I said, this is my opportunity. This
so Ralph's is, Italian ice.
This is the universe's way of saying, here, son, go with God.
Bean, why don't you, not to you know, ruin your enthusiasm, but Bean, why don't you tell us your story of beginning a business and becoming a mogul?
I stood where Ralph stands today, and that is to say the American dream is mine for the taking. It's just a question of being serious about it and putting my head down and being willing to put in the hard work and accomplish something. And I was exactly as you were, Ralph, and I found out it's a lot tougher than it looks. And by the way, we're going to take your telephone calls. If you have tried to start a business and it has flamed out spectacularly, it cost you a lot of money or a marriage or your health, we want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067.
So negative. So you're looking for business disasters?
Yes, business startup disasters.
Just so you know what road to not go down.
Right.
This is going to be a piece of cake, first of all, for me.
Sure.
You're not selling cake. You're selling Italian ice. The short version, do we have time to tell the short version of my disaster story? Do we need to take a break?
Depends on how short your version is.
All right, I'll make it short.
All right.
A friend of Kevin's was in the earthworm business.
Yes.
And I met him. And
I remember the Worm King.
The Worm King.
Yeah, the Worm King. And he sold me on what sounded like the greatest idea in the world. It was a work-at-home kind of thing where you buy a vat of like 2,000 earthworms or something like that.
See, already I know this is dumb.
But
it's your fault for thinking that that's a business.
But lots of people need and use earthworms because, of course, you put them in your compost or something like that, and they make this phenomenal fertilizer, right?
I'm relatively sure that when I brought him to this group, I introduced him as a scam artist.
Yes.
I'm relatively sure that happened.
Let me weigh the differences. How many people love worms and compost versus how many people like delicious Italian ice? I think I'm already ahead. I don't think your story has any lessons for me.
So I had a giant terrarium with my 2,000 earthworms, and I put it in the closet. You're supposed to put it in a dark place, and you're supposed to throw some, I don't know, some stuff in there that they can eat and everything like that. And then, you know, they make more earthworms. You make more earthworms, and then you sell worms, and you also sell compost. You're selling two things, and it just continually – it works when you don't. 24 hours a day, your little earthworms are there working and creating something that you can sell. You can't miss with a business like that.
Okay.
All right.
So far.
And then –
and then the earthworms figured out somehow one night deep in my closet how to remove the lid from the terrarium, and all of them crawled out and died on the carpet in my home.
Oh God.
It was a worm holocaust.
It was a worm holocaust.
You had a worm graveyard in your shag rug?
It was World War Worms.
It was a shag rug, and they all had like that little slimy, whatever that slimy thing is that wrapped. I think they got wrapped up in carpet fiber, and they all suffocated and died.
Oh,
it was the Auschwitz of the earthworm history. And my wife forbid me from doing what I wanted to do, was to call the Worm King right back and get a new batch of worms. She said, that's it. One shot, you're out. So I failed in my million-dollar idea to make earthworms my business.
You could have doubled down and done twice as poorly.
That's right.
Plus, all right, that's a stupid idea for a business. Nobody wants worms and compost.
I was convinced, though, that was my way out of this radio graveyard.
At least I don't think about something people actually want.
1-800-520.
For a smart guy, you are an idiot.
1067. Business startup disasters. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Not to depress anybody that's trying to start their own business.
No. Look, there are people who start businesses at work. I mean, you look at the guys who started Apple or Microsoft. Or, you know, General Motors. There's companies that make it.
But we don't like those stories. They're not funny.
we're trying to talk Ralph out of investing every penny he's made since he started working here at K-Rock into an Italian ice franchise. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 with your startup business disasters.
You're just jealous because I have vision.
Let's see what Mac's got going on. He's on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mac, a cautionary tale for our friend Mr. Garmin. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good to be here. I started a porn shop, but my wife's a heavy Christian, so I couldn't tell her. So I told her that I opened a bakery. And business was booming. Unfortunately, being a nice wife, she visited me at work, and she just blew up. She made me close down the shop.
Did you really think you were going to get away with that long term?
Having a business that your wife would never find out about?
I did. My friends talked me into it. It seemed like a good idea. I was making a lot of money, so there was no problem.
All right, so
it was a good idea. You just married poorly.
Right, exactly. So I hope you kept the business. I hope you kept the business and lost the wife.
Yeah, that's the thing. I lost the business, then I lost the wife, and I'm looking to buy another store because right now I'm swimming. Literally swimming in adult products in my house. So
awesome. Party at Max's house.
That's right. Right, exactly. All right. Thank you, Mac. Appreciate the call.
That's a cautionary tale about not getting married, not starting a business.
Well, right. or at least considering who you're married to before you start a porn business.
Yeah. He had all my earthworm idea is not looking so bad now, is it, Ralph?
Still is.
Let's try Denise. Denise is on line four, and she joins us up here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about business startup disasters. Hi, Denise.
Hi.
What'd you do?
Just so you guys know, I love you guys. You guys make me laugh every morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I started an airline with my dad, and we've been waiting for the FAA approval.
I'm sorry.
An airline?
I'm sorry, did you say I started an airline?
Out of your garage?
Yeah.
It's a small plane. It's called Van Nuys Airlines, and it's a small plane, but we've been waiting for approval for 2.5 years.
You know, one plane is not an airline. You know that, right? No, it's not.
That's how you start, Ralph. You're going to start with one ice place.
You're an air taxi. You're just that's why. I'm not saying I own a fleet of water ice
stands. No, but
you'll
get there. It starts with one.
That's not an airline. One plane is not an airline.
You know, there are some businesses that are just too big to start, aren't there? Wouldn't you think that airline would be one, banks would be another? Like, starting a bank is not something that any person should
try. I'm going to start a movie studio this afternoon. I'm going to get an 8mm camera and a light on a stand.
But you do have to kind of start with something you know, and her dad probably had the airplane and he can fly it, so I mean,
but I would think anything that relies on that much government paperwork and supervision, I would think would just be
a negative. Sure.
And how many people can you transport in a week that's going to make you money? You got 6 passengers.
I didn't start the airline. Stop yelling at me.
I'm just saying it's dumb.
So far, everyone's
been dumb and I'm smart.
Denise, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate the call. I'm going to start a new government today. How about that, you guys? That's my business. All right, let's try Christopher. He might have started something that was a little more reasonable, at least had some chance for success. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I started a catering company, and I had a fiance at the time, and man, I was working like 7 days a week. I got a client that needed all my attention, and the hours were just crazy. You know, I had prepping for the next day. It was just too much for me to handle.
Sounds like a good time for a fiance.
Yeah, I should have probably hired on some more people, but I couldn't afford it in the bottom line, and I knew I could do a lot of things on my own, and I bit off more than I can chew, having a fiance at the time.
And how did it work out?
It didn't work out. She left me, but, you know, I still have the catering company. I haven't been working it too much. I got a 9-to-5-er again.
Oh,
are you making
sad.
Any money from the catering company?
I did make a considerable amount of money where I was able to not work for a long time to get over the breakup.
Right.
Well, there you go. Once again, this is a cautionary tale. Don't get involved with women, but the businesses work out. What a bad wife. He had a bad fiance. It's nothing to do with business failures.
So, Ralph, when you go home today, cut Mrs. Garmin loose,
and
then it's Italian ice heaven.
The thing I've learned is get a divorce.
Don't forget, go to KROQ.com for all things Weenie Roast. The KROQ Weenie Roast 2013 is tomorrow at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You still have chances to win your tickets starting at 9 o'clock this morning and all day long on KROQ. And if you're not able to go to what?
Sorry, a lot of people have been emailing and asking, tweeting and asking about the set times. Mm-hmm. They are up now at KROQ.com.
I was going to get to that, but good. Also, we're going to be broadcasting live from there all day long, and you're going to be able to see the show if you're not going to be on site at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, too. You're going to have every minute of every act from the main stage. You can even control a 360-degree camera. You can even pretty much produce your own program with the bands that you're going to be seeing. All those details, again, at KROQ.com, so please check it out.
I'm glad I'm not Mike Jeffries, the CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch. Seems like a bad time to be that
He's
guy.
He's not having a Yeah.
He's not popular. By the way, is Abercrombie & Fitch, is that still a thing that is successful? That to me seems like a brand whose best days, whose hippest times have passed anyway.
I don't know. I see them at all still, the malls. And they
still
seem
doing okay?
Busy,
it's still viable.
Popular.
I don't know. Well, he's in the news because an interview that he did, and God, he's got to be so sad that everybody's talking about this again, because he did an interview 7 years ago that caused a firestorm there, and it's back in the news again because it was referenced in a new business book that's very popular. And it was basically, you know, back then he was talking about the same policy that he has in his stores today, which is that he doesn't want to sell larger sizes because he doesn't want fat people to wear his clothes. He's like, look, that's not what my brand is about. I want good-looking, cool people in my clothes. That's why I don't sell stuff that's large or extra large or, God forbid, 2XL. For ladies, you can't buy anything above a size 10 in A&F stores.
Now, I don't think that's a huge surprise to most people. You know that the people that work there are all pretty much models.
Right.
Yeah, and if you go into the store, it's got loud music playing all the time. It's kind of dark. It's like super hip.
But he was dumb enough to take it further. And this is the thing. Here's the rule, kids. If you're thinking things that you know people are going to hate you for, go ahead and don't say them out loud. keep that close to the vest. So he said, I don't want to give any of my clothes to Goodwill or to the homeless. I burn them. Because
in this day and age,
if they don't move, I don't want homeless people wearing our clothes.
Well, sure, that just brings the brand down.
So we
Kevin?
Set them on fire. Now, again, even if that's your policy, I don't know. Don't say it out loud.
Well,
what a
now,
giant
what
douche.
A jackass.
Now there's a guy in a YouTube video that's very popular that we put on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup yesterday who's encouraging people to do just that, to take your Abercrombie & Fitch stuff and give it to homeless people. He's trying to basically destroy the brand. So we thought, hey, we got to find out more about this controversy. Are we misreading the situation? Is he not as bad a guy as it appears he is based on everything so far? So we asked Dave if he could line up CEO Mike Jeffries, and we've got him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Jeffries.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Well, we're fine. You're the Abercrombie & Fitch CEO. You're the man who runs that company.
That's right. I am the captain of our aspirational brand of cool, hip clothing for cool and hip people.
Well, you're taking a little bit of a hit right now. I'm sure you're aware, or your people see what's going on the internet. I mean, a lot of people just hate your brand now.
Well, I don't concern myself with the internet so much because, as we know, everyone who uses the internet is fat and ugly.
I'm not positive that's
really
the case.
That's not true at all. Everybody uses the internet now.
Everyone who's fat and ugly.
Wouldn't you just, as a business owner, make more money if you sold clothes that a larger segment of the population could fit into?
Of course. But then I'd have to deal with the fact that fat, ugly people are in my store, and I just can't stand that idea.
Wow.
Isn't the point that everybody's money spends the same, though? Even if a person is not gorgeous, they still can put down $100 that you get.
Listen, if you want to be Walmart or Target and just sell to everybody, I suppose that's all about money. But my brand is about a statement, and that statement is, I don't like fat or ugly people.
I don't mean to insult, but you're pretty ugly yourself.
I am beautiful, first of all.
Okay.
I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this face. Have you seen the work I've had done?
Really?
Look at me. I'm stunning.
Wow. I thought you got hit by a truck or something. I figure that's what happened.
Spoken like a fat, ugly person.
Now, what about this statement that even if you don't want those fat and ugly people, as you call them, in your store, what about the homeless people, the people who are the least fortunate in the world? What about them? What about helping them out?
Why would you set clothes on fire instead of helping
them? Because I'd rather burn my product than have a homeless person wear it. What's hard to understand about that?
Because a little compassion for a homeless person who doesn't have any other clothes, maybe your coat would keep them warm for a night.
Oh, that would keep them warm for a night. Well, they should have thought of that before they were smelly and homeless.
Wow.
Not everybody is homeless because they want to be, you know.
Oh, well, I don't want to be homeless. And look at me, I'm not homeless. Boom. Decision made.
Oh, okay. That's how that works. I have no idea.
That's how that works. Yeah, that's how that works.
All right, take it easy.
I can't imagine a homeless person wearing a piece of A&F. I just cannot even fathom it. I would rather burn it. In fact, I get sleepless nights thinking perhaps that maybe a handicapped person is wearing my clothing somewhere.
Really?
I would rather take an entire store's inventory and stuff it into my sphincter than have one handicapped person wear something from Abercrombie and Fitch.
Well, all right. Again, so, that's overly rude. That's,
yeah, it is. So
here's the solution.
Yeah.
First, we start killing all the ugly and fat people.
Then you're talking about genocide?
Then the homeless, then the handicapped, until we're just a society of beautiful, skinny people. And all we're eating is celery and wheat thins, and everyone's wearing Abercrombie and Fitch, and everyone's dancing topless in my store. My nipples are hard just thinking about it.
I think I'm with you, Ralph, that nothing good ever happens on a deserted island. I think that's the lesson we're going to learn from this film, Black Rock. We've got the director, writer, and actress, Katie Aselton, joins us to talk Black Rock coming up next here on The Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
Says the mayor of Clowntown, by the way.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Him and his island with his corpses in the backyard.
There's time for a moment with before we get into the showbiz.
I hope it's mine.
It is.
All right.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Because fortune favors the bold.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Yep. That's fun. I don't know why you hate it so much, Kevin. I think it's fun.
Yeah, because you do it once a year.
It's fun.
That's why.
I like to get in there and roll around there, too. When I'm in there, I say, okay, let's have some fun with this. Start throwing the mud up in the air and just have a good time.
Me too.
Speaking of my genius idea to open my own water ice store, Edwin, longtime fan Edwin, writes it. I like Ralph's idea, but he should combine all things Ralph into one store. A place where we can all get water ice, Scrapple, Philly cheesesteaks, Eagles paraphernalia, Batman collectibles, and porn. The Ralph store. Yeah, now that's an idea.
There you go.
One-stop shopping.
You could call it Ralph's.
That wasn't bad, actually.
It wasn't.
See what did there.
Uh-huh. That's a terrible idea.
It was already a popular chain of stores.
Ralph's.
Yeah. Did you know Ralph's is a last name?
Mm-mm. No, I did not know that.
If you look at the sign, if you look at the Ralph's store sign, it's R-A-L-P-H-S apostrophe.
Oh, right.
And the founder of the Ralph's chain was named George Ralph's.
Huh.
It's also a verb. Did you know that?
Shut up. All right. Sad news. Guitars for the Pogues. Philip Chevron has been diagnosed with terminal head and neck cancer.
He's not dead yet, Bean.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was jumping the gun. Sorry.
He fought the same disease back in 2007, but it has returned, and this time it is inoperable. So he has announced that he will continue to make music, he said, until his cancer becomes, as he says, lethal. So sad news for Pogues fans, of which I am one. Bob Dylan's getting honored by the American Academy of Arts and Letters.
Really?
Made him an honorary member.
For Go Away, You Bomb.
Bob was not at the ceremony on Wednesday in New York City, but he did send along a statement. I feel extremely honored and very lucky to be included in this pantheon of great individual artists who comprise the Academy of Arts and Letters. I look forward to meeting all of you sometime soon. Yeah, that's what he said. What did he say? I don't know. Just make up a nice sounding statement and say he said it and release it. No one will be able to tell the difference. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Remember that classic?
I love that great movie.
Well, how about Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2?
So soon?
They're finally getting around to it. Deadline.com reports they're doing a sequel. Crouching Dragon, Hidden Tiger 2, The Green Destiny.
That's a terrible idea.
Makes good sense because I once got the Green Destiny after eating some bad Chinese food, so it all works out. Michelle Yeoh will return. And Donnie Yen also back in the news. The bigger news is that Wen Yuo Ping, who did all the legendary fight choreography for the first film, he will be back for the sequel as well. So that film really sort of created a new standard for fighting sequences.
Was that Ang Lee directed, Ralph? Did he do that one?
I want to say yes, but my fear is...
Seems like it.
My fear is that it's not, and then there's going to be a lot of tweets and emails to be answered.
I don't know either.
Email Ralph at krock.com.
So thanks, Bean. Thanks for opening up that can of worms.
Well, you're the movie guy.
Thanks for dumping that terrarium of worms on your floor and watching them all die.
I thought you would know, being, you know, the movie guy.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes I don't have every fact and figure at my fingertips.
All right, I am looking. Yes, he did. He did direct Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, so we're saved on that one. So God. I just wondered if he was back because he honestly makes the difference for me.
Yeah.
I'll go see anything he directs.
Really?
Except Hulk.
Go see Hulk. Yeah, go watch that again. Congratulations. NBC's voice is whole again. Looks like they've got all of their judges back. Adam Levine and Blake Shelton have signed and will stay on. CeeLo and Christina also on hand, so the whole gang getting back together again. Shakira and Usher will not be returning next season. They're taking some time off, but they'll be back for season 6. So CeeLo, Christina, Adam, and Blake returning for The Voice.
It's the old gang back together again.
The old gang.
And, I'm Carson Daly, and I'm a massive Tool.
Oh, come on.
How about Carson? Is he coming back?
Carson is coming back. And while we're talking about voice competition shows, last night, Your American Idol was awarded.
Woo!
Were you rooting for her, Kevin?
Yes.
Her being, of course...
Sheila? Heather?
No, Candace.
Candace?
Candace Glover is your new American Idol for season 12. She beat out Cree Harrison.
Oh, he or she was good, too,
yeah,
though.
I hope he or her doesn't take it too hard. Jordan Sparks was the last time they had a female winner on this show, back in 2007.
Remember, her I liked.
Remember when people watched? Those were good times. And apparently, Farrah Abraham's bikini is now off of eBay.
Farrah Abramson?
Farrah Abramson's bikini that we were talking about yesterday, they were putting up for auction.
Right.
Which was unwashed.
Yes.
Yes.
From her adventure in porn.
Mm-hmm.
Complete with fake tan stains and body glitter stains.
That's not fake tan other stain.
Unidentifiable stains. It started at $500. It had gotten up to $14,000 in bidding.
Oh, come on.
And then suddenly, people are reporting this morning, the listing has now disappeared from eBay.
Yeah, because they don't sell stuff with juices.
No one said there were juices.
They don't sell juice stuff.
Why don't you like juice? What do you have against juice?
Juice.
Oh, juice.
Juice.
Yeah. No word. We're trying to hunt down a reason for why it was missing, but maybe that was it. Maybe people were starting to speculate that it carried some James Dean DNA or something.
Right. I'd be worried about the fake tan.
Buying
that. I'm not buying that at all.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Paxton, he's 58. By the way, Farrah says she wants to be a role model for other teen moms everywhere.
Yes. Yes. So far, so good.
Actually, when you think about it, there are a lot of teen moms in porn, so she may have already had an effect. Bill Paxton's 58 years old today. As we look at celebrity birthdays, Bob Saget's 57, as is Sugar Ray Leonard. Craig Ferguson, funny, funny host of The Late Late Show, is 51. Trent Reznor turns 48. Nikki Reed celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Katie Azleton.
Azleton.
When I was in high school, people would say she's got a cute Azleton.
There you go.
If that helps you, just when you're trying to remember.
And she does, by the way. Let me just say, she is the director and actress from the new film called Black Rock in theaters now. And Katie, as you sat down, you said you've been listening to this program for a long time. We appreciate that. So at least you are not expecting one of those quality NPR interviews when you come into K-Rock.
I have very low expectations.
Yes. Good. That's good, cute. Good, good. We are always impressed with anyone who's able to get a movie made, particularly a smaller movie. And this one has been percolating for a long time. Is it true? Is it true that you've had this movie done for a couple of years, and it's just now coming out, right?
Well, we had a version of it done for Sundance in 2012, and then that was essentially a rough cut that we ended up taking back and recutting and rescoring.
Was that the plan? I mean, did you know?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. I didn't think so. So you thought it was done, then you went there and you found out it wasn't.
Well, it's interesting when you get to sit with an audience and have that full experience. And, LD, the company that bought it, was incredibly supportive.
How much did you change it?
And by incredibly supportive, you mean go back and change it.
They were like, no, you should change. This should be changed.
By that account, our boss is incredibly supportive. Because he says, hey, you know what you're doing? Do something different.
Guys, you're doing it wrong.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
They were small changes, but I feel like they all added up to a different movie.
Oh, so
is that? I'm sorry. Is that an incredibly difficult thing to do, to go back in? Because you must have felt like you probably spent a couple years on it, right?
No, honestly, because
like a month, a couple weeks.
I spent a couple days just making this quick movie. It was a, you know, it's a quick, fast, mad dash to get to Sundance, and you have to get things done very quickly. And you know, you get there, and you're. I was also pregnant at the time.
Wow.
I was making horrible decisions based on hormones and hunger. And yeah, so once I got there and really got to see it in a full theater, just little tweaks.
Did that stuff strike you, or did you have to get the feedback, or how does that?
It really struck me sitting there. It's just that feeling that you get. You know, when your child is not doing well in school, you're like, oh. This is my fault. I'm going to go back and fix it.
The movie is called Black Rock, and we've been talking about it a lot this week because we knew you were coming in. And it is one of those trailers that a lot of people are having a visceral reaction to when they see it. I mean, the conversation that has already started, if you look at comments beneath the video on YouTube or whatnot, it's kind of interesting that people have an opinion on what these characters are doing and should do, even though it's just a story.
I know. I'll take that. I'll take anyone talking about it.
Tell us what it's about.
It is three girls who go to an island. Their childhood friends, they go in the effort to reconnect. And once they get to the island, dun, 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 they're not alone. Say it with me, guys.
But don't you know that? I mean, really?
Of course you know it. You know what you're getting when you, I mean, okay. Have you seen the poster?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not, I am
terrifying.
Not reinventing the wheel.
No.
I'm just telling a new version. I'm just... I don't know what my metaphor would be for this. I'm just telling
insert
my version of
good
it.
Good metaphor here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're from Maine, and this is a real live island off the coast of Maine?
If an island was alive, yes, this would okay. be a real live island.
yeah, I guess I meant it's just, it's not, this isn't Hollywood magic or something like this. It's an actual island that
we
exists
did.
In
we
the world.
We shot on an island for some of it. Black Rock, we doubled an island called Flint Island, which really is just sort of this rock rising out of the water, totally uninhabited except for hundreds of deer.
Oh, no.
Hundreds of deer.
There was so much deer poop everywhere. Hmm. It was wild. Literally
that
wild.
That doesn't sound good.
I know. It was, you know, not ideal.
No.
Not ideal when you
not
have
really
to be.
Really resorty.
The island of poop? I don't want it.
Nothing like putting Kate Bosworth and Lake Bell on an island with a bunch of deer poop.
I would have written a different movie. I got to be honest, if I had those two actors. So they get out there, and they're just regular people. They're not superheroes or anything like that. They're not jujitsu experts.
Yeah,
they have
these
no...
girls certainly have no combat training.
Right, and that's what's fascinating is because they are put, as many real-life people are in real-life situations, they are put in circumstances where they kind of have to, you know, they have to rise to the occasion if they're going to survive.
And that's what I sort of really wanted to explore. I like the idea of tapping into your inner strength that you don't really know exists.
You don't tap into it until you're forced to tap into it.
Exactly. Right. Like, women have been known to lift cars off of children.
Right.
I've never seen it happen. I want
I haven't
to
either,
so
but
badly.
I've heard that a lot
but
of
I have
people
heard
do
that
yes.
that could happen.
I've heard that as well.
And so that is the strength that I sort of wanted to explore and see what could happen. I personally, in real life, have never thrown a punch. I have received a punch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a
girl fight?
Scrappy little high school I went to. but yeah, so I've never found myself in that situation. But what would I do if I was faced?
You'd do whatever you had to do to stay alive and get away from the danger, I guess.
Yes, I enjoy living.
Yeah.
That's true.
That should have been the log line of the movie.
I enjoy living.
Hell yes, I enjoy living.
So they come across, they think they're alone. They're just going to have a fun girls' weekend, just reconnecting, as you said, and just hanging out and being chicks. Mm-hmm. And they realize they are not alone on the island. And they don't run into the nicest group of fellow travelers in the world.
No, they actually start off quite nice, I think. I think there was just a misunderstanding.
Hmm.
And
a big misunderstanding.
Large, yes. And then, you know, you know, just an unfortunate event. And then things go terribly wrong and stuff hits fans.
Is it deer stuff?
Deer stuff hits
which
the fans.
There's plenty of. So you're on the island, you run into the guys.
Mm-hmm.
The guys realize, hey, there's three supermodels here.
Yeah.
Right.
What are the chances of that?
What are the chances of that, by
the
way?
We're on a deserted island and three supermodels just landed.
That's a totally different movie. I'll make
no,
that one.
It is.
That's the movie you made, Katie. I got news for you.
Um, I don't have an answer. I don't have a quippy retort for that. You got me.
I heard that it was super uncomfortable and super cold making parts of this film. Because Maine is not the warmest place in America.
No, and you think I would know that as someone who was born and raised right where I shot this movie.
What time of year did you do it?
June. I don't know, you guys. It escaped me. It felt like it worked with our window of availability. And sure, we'll shoot it in June. It's summer, quote unquote. And we got there and it was 40 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
You guys
have to go in the water?
Uh-huh. I nearly killed Lake Bell. She went into...
We would have never forgiven you for that, by the
way. I know, guys. And you shouldn't.
Record. Okay.
You right. should never
You almost killed
me.
Her. How'd that happen?
I put her in the water at night in the Atlantic Ocean, where if you are in without a wetsuit... We had wetsuits on.
Right.
But if you're in without a wetsuit for longer than 15 minutes, you will get hypothermia and you will die.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
So you're like 40, watching the clock 14 and a half,
guys,
14,
I'm super 40. Hardcore. No, I put her very responsibly in a wetsuit thinking that that was...
Enough.
Yeah,
buy you some more time. Yeah.
Comfy.
Well, I didn't realize. FYI, I was in there with her.
Okay,
so I can tell you
so
what this
killed
experience
yourself
was.
As well.
Yes.
Okay, that's better.
Yes, I did. Now I care more about to work a wetsuit, that water has to get into your wetsuit.
Right.
And it literally took the breath out of her, and she never got it back for a full 24 hours.
Oh my god!
Wow. Now I would imagine you get out of that water. It's 40 degrees. It's the middle of the night. You're in Maine. You're going to freeze to death if you don't get those clothes right off, lady.
You have to take your clothes off.
That's what I'm saying. Now we're talking.
And that's how you survive.
I like
you
it.
Take your clothes off next to Lake Bell.
This is
you
a make completely Lake different movie.
You
now.
Make. Lake Bell, take her clothes off.
Did you say Lake
now,
Bell?
You just sold some tickets. All right. Katie Azleton is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the film Black Rock. It is available on demand, and it's also in limited release in theaters as well,
theaters.
Right?
Theaters, yeah.
Fantastic. We'll talk more with Katie when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Katie Azleton in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is mostly the brains behind this new film Black Rock, but you also see her up on the big screen along with Kate Bosworth and Lake Bell. And it occurs to me as we talked to you during the song there, Katie, that you know Brooklyn Decker, yet you made no effort to get her in this movie too. What's wrong with you?
I had already shot the movie.
It could have been four people.
nothing like a great idea of like sandwiching me in between Brooklyn and Lake. I would have looked like a 12-year-old boy.
You would have been fine.
By the way, you are being modest. Is it true or is it not true that you were Miss Maine Teen USA 1995?
That is true.
Ooh.
That's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet to have on your resume, by the way.
What's the competition like in Maine?
What are you implying?
I'm just not to.
It was a God. There's not a real nice way to say that.
I think New England. I think there are a lot of beautiful girls in New England.
I think
Kevin,
there are
our
a
friend,
lot of very
actress,
interesting girls.
Our friend actress Rachel Nichols is from Maine, as an example. By the way,
all
one
right.
of the most beautiful people we know.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick from Maine.
Oh, okay, there
Kendrick
you go.
From Maine. Yeah,
Patrick Dempsey, Maine.
How did you escape from pageants? Because I always picture a particular type of person is drawn to pageants, and you don't seem like that kind of person. You seem too normal
and
down to earth.
I couldn't even escape because I did one that led to another, and that was it. I entered the state pageant sort of on a whim, just as a thing, and I won. And then I had to go to nationals. I did very well in nationals. And then I was done. And I don't think I had to do any... I didn't feel the need to...
So you're not really a pageant girl.
I'm not... I mean, look at me. I'm not a pageant girl, you guys. Listen to this voice. No.
Yeah. All right.
No.
I'm not buying it.
I am going to save the world by modeling, though.
You co-wrote this movie with your husband, the very talented Mark Duplass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you starred together on The League. Now... what's that like? Because most of us, you know, we love our spouses, but we're grateful for the opportunity to be away from them at a job. You guys are working together and living together. Is that
tough? But I get to be married to someone else on TV, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got all these other husbands. I've got, you know.
Yeah, so it's like a vacation.
It is. It's a little vacation during the day.
But with your real husband hanging around, glaring. Just,
right, watching you make
just
out.
Just lurking,
right.
Watching me make out with Steve Ranazzisi.
Right.
Honestly, it's good. I think in this business, you can get torn in 1,000 different directions and be put on different coasts or different continents for months at a time. And I actually like my husband, and I enjoy spending time with him, so I don't mind going to work and seeing
him.
Can
we check back with you in 2 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How long have you guys been married?
We are going on 6 years.
that is a golden anniversary in Hollywood. Six years.
I know. Congratulations. And we've been together for like 11.
Wow. So. Are you surprised that the league refuses to die?
No. Are you?
Yeah, Bean.
Look, anything, are you? Anything that we like on TV has a short life. And, you know, we just sit nervously waiting for the shows that we like to be canceled. Like, we just lost Southland, for instance. We're all still in mourning over that.
I know, but Southland didn't have as much smell.
For real sports fan, right? Not just, you don't just play one on TV.
I do. I am the youngest of four kids. I have an elder brother and then two older sisters. But so as the youngest, my brother was really hoping for a boy. And he cried when I was a girl, and so instead he just treated me as if I was a boy. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to throw a baseball and a football, and I grew up watching games.
I wanted a brother. I'm going to treat her like a brother.
Yeah. This one's going to be cool. I'm going to make this one awesome.
Have you tried to engineer to meet some of your favorite NFL players through the league? Try to figure out a way to work them into the show just so you could, like, you know, spend a day hanging out with Tom Brady or whoever?
That's who I'm trying to... you know, get on the show, and he's the one who we can't seem to get. But yes, I do believe that Jenny should have some really fun interaction with Tom Brady. I did get, you know, the fun bit with Jason Witten last year. That was great. But I'll take some Tom Brady, actually.
Sure.
I'll take Giselle, too. I'll take them both on.
Yes. I'm down with that. Put me down in the yes category for that one.
All right, the league is moving to something called the FFX channel, which sounds shaky to me, but I guess it's a real thing, right?
Hey, it's never bad to add an extra X to something.
Sure. And BlackRock is currently in theaters and is available on demand. By the way, if this movie sounds intriguing, and if you've seen the trailer, you have to want to see what happens because there's a lot of ass-kicking going on. It is showing in limited release in Southern California, too. You can check that out, too. What's next for you, Katie, before we say goodbye?
Just going back to the league.
Beautiful.
Season 5, and then, you know, trying to figure out what else I can smush
season
in.
Season 5 and 6 have been...
Season 5 and 6 have been picked up.
Look at that.
So we're going to start shooting Season 5 in a couple weeks.
Cool. Great. Well, congratulations on the movie. It looks awesome. Thank you for coming in. It's nice to finally meet you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
If you would like to have that man right there from 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto, sweating on you tomorrow at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, you can. We are giving away more pit tickets and backstage passes for the sold-out Q-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 in about 25 minutes or so from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then all day long, get your details at Q-Rock.com.
A federal safety board has recommended that they change the threshold for drunk driving from 0.08 to 0.05.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which basically is almost cutting it in half.
Yeah.
And for someone like me, it means less than one drink, most likely.
Yes. For a drink is defined as 12 ounces of beer, 4 ounces of wine, or 1 ounce of jet fuel.
So, Lisa, let's say, and I know this would be a long, I remember how long the fight was to reduce it from 1.0 to 0.08. And eventually that happened, and that's the nationwide standard. So this is years in the future if something like this were to happen. But literally, you couldn't go out and have a beer and then get in your car and drive away in 45 minutes later, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I heard that a 200-pound man could have, I think it was 3 or 4 drinks in an hour and probably come in okay. But a woman my height, I'm only like 5'1",
4'8",
couldn't even have a glass of wine. I'd have to wait a couple of hours before I could drive.
Wow. Beer mug, imagine how much you could drink, though. A guy like you, woo-hoo, with your body fat, you'd be set. This is the National Transportation Safety Board that made the recommendation earlier this week, and now it is being discussed. I was surprised to see, by the way, that this is a standard in many countries around the world. I think I read something like 100 countries already have 0.05. So apparently it is doable in some places. But this won't surprise you. There are people who are against this as well.
You know what's weird is AAA and Mothers Against Drunk Driving neither have come out and supported this.
They want those breathalyzer things. That's what they're fighting for, which I agree. I think that's much more effective. Someone who's going to go out and drink is going to go out and drink and drive, period. They don't care what the limit is, right?
So they've got a different way to tackle drunk driving.
Right.
Well, restaurant associations are against it, of course. Alcohol companies are against it. And there's a group that has popped up that I am unfamiliar with, and they are called Drinkers Rights Uniting National Knowledge. And producer Dave got them for us. Ryan Kessler is the spokesperson for the organization. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Kessler. How are you, sir?
Hi. You guys,
we're good.
What's the name of your organization again? Did I get it right?
Drinkers Rights United National Knowledge.
And that spells drunk. I see.
What?
That spells drunk.
Hey guys, you know what it spells?
So,
Mr.
Kessler, what? you're not driving anytime soon, are you yourself, sir?
I'm just your mom.
What's your problem with trying to save lives out on the highway by not allowing people to drive when they are impaired?
Listen, I'm not saying we should not save lives.
Right.
I'm just saying we should also drink, because there is a constitutional right for drinking, and then. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you agree that fewer people would likely drive drunk? Their behaviors would change if they thought that they might get a ticket. They might be cited if their blood alcohol level was over this new low amount. Yeah, don't you think that would discourage people from driving drunk?
It's ridiculous, because I'm not, if I have one drink
right.
at dinner, let's say I have one drink at dinner.
When was the last time that happened?
I have one drink all the time at dinner.
Right, but I'm saying only one.
I have one drink at dinner.
All right.
And then I drive. I'm fine. I'm a better driver when I'm relaxed and happy than I am when I'm all uptight because I can't drink at a dinner.
So you're trying to tell us, as a representative for Drinkers Rights Uniting National Knowledge, that people drive better when they are drunk.
Happy drivers are better than angry drivers. How many did you call? Hey!
What? No one's interrupting you.
Hey! What? How many accidents are caused by angry sober drivers? What percentage of accidents happen with drinker drivers?
A third.
What? With drunk drivers, you mean?
The drinker drivers, yes.
A third of deaths are caused by drunk driving.
A third.
Yeah.
Who are the other two-thirds, people? Assholes who are sober. That's who it is.
Okay.
One-third, two-thirds assholes sober.
Uh-huh.
So how about this? How about we get a law to say you cannot be a sober asshole?
Okay, but why can't we?
Where's that law?
We could do that, but we could also reduce drunk driving accidents.
Are you drunk?
Yeah, I kind of sound like it, don't I?
Yeah. What?
I think his point was we could cut deaths pretty quickly just by changing the blood alcohol level.
One third of deaths, and the other two thirds, let's let sober people run people over. Let's get them just, let them kill people. We don't care. No, it's the drinkers' rights they want to affect.
Okay.
And we are here to say no!
All right.
No, get on the party bus. That's what we're here to say.
I am not convinced.
It's unfair. It's unfair for them to say, oh, no, we're going to have more laws for drinkers, but the sober people can keep running over children.
Well, no one is saying it's okay for the other two-thirds.
Well, there's no laws being with them, is there?
What?
There's no laws being passed for them.
How much have you had to drink, Mr. Kessler?
I have had some. Drinking.
Right.
Listen, don't get me started. Is that woman a mad woman?
Huh?
What?
I am.
Are you mad?
I'm not mad.
She's not a mother against drunk driving, no.
Mad.
No.
Mad. You tell me something about mad.
Right.
Bitches.
Oh, come on. They're out there trying to save lives. That's all.
Most of the guys in our organization are married to women and mothers against drunk driving.
Is that right?
They have to drink because there's a bitch in.
Okay.
Oh, they're so horrible women.
All right, Mr. Kessler.
Women.
Your point has been noted.
I that's all they need to say all day long. I got, I need a drink. But now I can't even drive to the bar and have a drink. Because
you can drive to the bar.
Let's make it 0.1 pubic hair. Let's take that.
What are you talking about?
A small amount.
Okay.
And then you'll be happy. And then you know what'll happen? I'm not going to be happy.
Okay. You've made your point, Mr. Kessler.
No,
we're going to go ahead.
This is my point.
Okay. We heard your point.
No.
What's your point?
This is my point.
All right. You're so close to saying goodbye. Come on, Ryan.
This is not going to help your cause.
God.
Wow.
We got to tap another keg.
Let's spin this one more time.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Because fortune favors the bold.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Well, I have been drinking in my defense.
Well, you don't know the guy from the drunk organization, do you, Ralph?
I'm a member. I'm a card gang member.
Oh, you are? Yeah. I didn't realize that.
For some reason, people on Twitter seem to think that was you. That's odd, right?
What was me?
the guy from the drunk driving group. The spokesman.
Yes.
That we just talked to.
Yes.
People thought that was you.
They thought that funny comedy bit was me?
Yes.
Why would they think that?
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
I don't know what you're defending or trying to imply or what I'm, how I'm supposed to respond to this bit.
Or it's time I'm talking about.
I don't know this interchange we're having, what's supposed to happen.
It's time for the showbiz beat.
Well.
You did it, Kevin.
We can't find Farrah Abraham's bikini anywhere on eBay. It's gone. How am I going to buy it? And clone myself my own Farrah Abraham so that I can brutally murder her, but no one can ever arrest me.
Because she's not a real human. She's just a clone.
That's right. Yeah, it looks like eBay has pulled the bikini that she wore for the sex tape with James Dean off of its site. My guess is something on it just burned through the internet. It just like fell through, yeah. Just like burned right through it. Like they say, you know, if it keeps going, it'll go right through the center of the earth. You know, something
sure.
Will just dissolve. So that's what's happening.
I have a question for you, Ralph.
Yes,
I know that it's icky.
Yes.
And it's unpleasant, and I wouldn't want to have any part of it. But why would they ban an item like that? If consenting adults want to sell used clothing and buy used clothing, mm-hmm. Why not let them?
You mean like the girls who sell their panties and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I think that it's a matter of
both people are going into it knowing what they're doing, what they're getting.
I think it's a legal consideration.
Who does it hurt?
I think it's eBay covering their ass just in case anything is ever. I think if there's any issue of someone getting something from something, I say this delicately without being too over the line.
You're worried about
any contagions,
medical issues,
yeah,
infection.
Medical issues, any infection or contagions that might be transferred through the bodily fluids contained in those items of clothing. I think eBay wants to protect itself for any sort of legal ramifications by being a third party of that sort of transaction.
However, they let thousands of people sell clothes online. You can go on eBay and buy dresses all you want.
Yeah.
They're just not as high profile as this.
It's the same reason you can't return a bathing suit in a major department store. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The next person buys that bathing suit and then they get crabs, you're going to sue JCPenney, you know, and they don't want to deal with that.
I get that in a store, but I don't understand. I just think there are too many rules because we find things icky. We don't let other adults do what they want.
There are places you can go if you want to buy women's underwear that's been previously worn.
You don't have to tell Bean.
You can go there. There are erotic auction sites that will allow you to buy all kinds of used products. So, seek them out. But eBay is not one of them. Speaking of Farrah Abraham, the teen mom.
Farrah Abramson?
Yes, her too. She's not pregnant.
Woo!
Oh, there is a guy.
How did we know that?
Well, you know, she bought that pregnancy test.
Mm-hmm.
But it has nothing to do with this story. She went on a new TV show called The Test.
Of course she did.
The Test.
That's probably why she did this to begin with.
Of course. It's just another gambit in her desperate bid for attention.
And people keep indulging her.
She went on a show called The Test, and it's going to air soon, and she takes the pregnancy test, and then...
You are not pregnant!
TMZ.com has discovered that she has went on the set, and she was indeed not pregnant. So.
No one is the father!
Yes. No one's happier than James Dean by about that. And one of her co-stars from Teen Mom, Caitlin Lowell, dismissed Farrah's sex tape this week, saying she sounds like a dying horse on camera. Farrah responded by saying, I know what jealousy looks like. I'm trying to be a role model for the other teen moms, not try to knock them down. I try to better them.
How is she doing that?
By taking it in the pooper. And she went on to say, Caitlin has a weight issue, but I don't want to say harsh things about her and hurt her self-esteem.
Sure. I'm not even going to mention how fat she is.
I don't believe it. Caitlin has a weight issue, but I don't say harsh things about her to hurt her self-esteem.
Right. Except for that part about her having a weight issue.
Weight issue thing. This girl is insane. It's just, it's almost as if she's a character that someone has written and is performing. It's hard to believe she's a real person.
You guys want to talk to somebody from eBay?
Madness. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay.
Straight.
Somebody might know the answer.
Straight from the horse's mouth. So
hey, Josh.
Speak. Josh?
Yes, yes.
Why can't you sell used underwear and bikinis and stuff on eBay?
You actually can. There's a whole adult section that's on eBay where women sell their used underwear, socks, bras. But in the listing, it has to specifically state that it has been washed and is safe to wear. Abrams' bikini stated that it was unwashed and still had everything on it. So it,
that's
it
gross. Off.
So you can't sell anything that still has been soiled in any way.
Exactly, and the listing actually has to state that it has been washed. If there is a listing that just states, hey, this is used, we'll pull that off as well because it has to state that it's been washed.
Okay, now do you know the reasoning behind why something has to be washed? Why you don't market anything that's been still has a human remnants on it?
It's a legal liability for us.
Liability, that's what I figured, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to get sued and we don't want any of our customers to get sued, so right. It's just safe on both ends.
Yeah, you don't want the headline to read Man Catches Syphilis from eBay.
Yeah.
That would be bad for us.
That would be bad for you.
Josh, thank you for listening and for calling, sir. We appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, man.
You too. Speaking of sex tapes, guess who now is competing in the market who has come forward and said, I have a sex tape too.
Was it stolen?
No, not yet, Lisa. Courtney Stodden.
Of course.
She must be just going nuts because this talentless whore over here is getting all the attention. What about me? I was a talentless whore and people used to talk about me. Now no one's talking about me. I have a sex tape too. But she says she's not going to release her sex tape.
Right. And why bring it up?
Because it's private.
What?
Why bring it up?
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Did she do it for her privacy?
She did it for her privacy.
Get naked, you strange whore!
She said her sex tape is totally private and is not out in the media. Or on her computer. Hackers don't even go there because you'll find nothing, she said.
Then what's the point of the conversation? Why is she talking?
And I don't want to put any images in people's minds, so I'm going to leave it up to you guys. What do you think I'm doing on it?
Oh, that's weak.
She did add, though.
This is the beginning of an advertising campaign.
That it's a sex tape featuring just her by herself.
Wow, what could she
be doing? What could she possibly be doing? Playing words with friends? I'm starting to hate all these broads.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just
I don't know
now
if you can
starting?
Tell or not, but huh. I'm starting to have bad feelings towards
every one of them is a sound down at this point.
And some of them are not even are picture down, too. Look at that Farrah Abraham. It's like her. She looks like she had an accident and had reconstructive surgery on her face. That's what it looks like. It's like someone tried to piece her back together again. She's got sort of like a titanium chin, and you can tell that someone else's cheekbones have been added, and it's just
her chin is taking a lot of punishment.
Well, that's true. Yeah. All right, I'm going long here. I apologize.
Well, did you know that according to men, women exaggerate everything?
Today's celebrity birthdays: Bill Paxton's 58 years old. Actor comedian Bob Saget celebrates his 57.
Bob Saget!
You happy now, Beer Mug?
Yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard is 57 years old.
Bugs has been a dog with a bow to get that clip on.
He would not let us go.
Since 5:50, he's been pointing
play that
pointing.
Audio.
Come on!
Craig Ferguson's 51.
Bob Saget!
Not now.
Ferguson. Trent Reznor's 48. And actress Nikki Reed celebrates her 25th birthday. She is married to one of the American Idols, by the way, Paul McDonald.
They seem very happy together.
Yeah.
Never heard that name.
You don't know Paul McDonald?
No.
He was in the Doobie Brothers. Very popular guy.
different guy. Oh. Don't confuse Kevin.
Sorry, I don't know. By the way, last night's finale for American Idol?
Yeah.
Lowest rated finale in the history of the
All
of the
right
television.
Now. People. Well, look, I pay attention, and I didn't know it was on, so something's going on with American Idol.
Yeah, people have had an asshole of American Idol. Farrah Abraham being among them. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is over. It is the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:39.
P-A-R-T-Y.
Because I said so.
Because I said so. That was awesome, Kevin. You got to marry her. Seriously, yeah. Don't let her go, man. She's yours. You guys
like
should be together.
Movies. It's like one of those movies where star-crossed lovers just find each other on
some
subway platform or something, and then they just look at each other, and one gets in there, and the door closes, and they go off, and they should have been together, and went screaming, yep. No.
You're Tom Hanks. She's Meg Ryan. Make it happen, son. Come on.
I'm a person. I have feelings.
First of all,
have we forgotten about that?
both of those points are up for debate.
Ralph is here. It is time for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Kevin and Bean show for a Friday.
If you got together with that drunk British DJ, you would make three people happy. You, her, and your wife.
That's true.
Everybody would win in that situation. All right. You know what? It's Friday.
Yes.
We're almost out of here.
This is usually the best showbiz of the week.
Very close to going home.
Mm-hmm.
We got Don't Bogart that joint.
Right.
right there in the pipeline, ready to kick off the weekend.
Right. All we have to do is hit a button. It's on.
So let's start off. Let's party early. Let's P-A-R-T-Y, because I said so, with some new music by Britney Spears. Britney Spears got a new song today.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, brand new track from Britney Spears. She's back, bigger than ever, appearing on the Smurfs 2 soundtrack.
All right.
Yeah, that's where all the big stars are.
Smurfs 2.
Smurfs 2, the movie. We're going to see it soon, and the first track from the soundtrack has already been released. It is Britney Spears. We haven't heard new Britney Spears music since 2011, by the way.
Wow. Is that true?
Yeah. Hmm. Criminal. That was her last release, and now we got it. Here's Ooh La La by Britney Spears.
Oh, mama, baby, don't be shy. I see that spark flashing in your eyes.
Nothing better for a kid's movie than a song about boning all night. I've always found.
Look,
boy, is that craptastic.
I like a good pop confection as much as the next guy. But I don't get the point of auto-tuning a human to the point where she sounds like a robot. I don't understand that. Why is that appealing to some people's ears?
She sounds like a chipmunk.
Unless you're Daft Punk and that's your thing. That's not her thing. I don't get that.
This sounds like a song from the 80s.
It totally does.
Like
absolutely.
Some Swedish model recorded this to be put in discos in 1985.
Not a 40-year-old mother of two?
Yeah. It's awful. However, when I tell you it was written by the same woman who wrote California Girls and Teenage Dream for Katy Perry, you can hear the roots of that music behind that.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be a hit.
However, the auto-tuning is, like you said, just conspicuous.
It's just cranked up too high. They must have done some sort of tests on people that find that that hits them in the brain in the right place that makes them buy. I don't know. There's got to be some sort of manipulation going on here.
It's for Smurfs, too. Did I mention that?
You did mention that.
Do me all night long the way I like. Turn me around. Say hello to Dr. Chocolate Starfish.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that lyric. Yeah. That's weird.
Ooh la la.
So the next verse, Kevin.
Oh. There's your new Brit. You likey?
Not really.
No, me neither. American Idol Day had its finale last night. We have a new American Idol.
How exciting.
When is the swearing in? I don't think they swear anyone in. When do we do the coronation, whatever it is?
I don't think there's that. So either. Do we move on now from being obsessed with Phil Phillips, who won last year?
Yeah,
do we have to put that behind us now?
Phil Phillips. Candy Glover is her name. I think I gave her some singles once at a club in Pacoima.
Is that right?
Candy Glover. Candace Glover, 23 years old. She's the new American Idol. She beat out Cree Harrison, who I've discovered in my research is another girl.
Oh, also a girl, okay.
Yes. And lowest rated finale in American Idol history.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Every time you say that name, Ralph, and you're the only one who will remember, I think of Candy Loving.
Oh, Candy Loving, one of my favorite playmates of all time.
One of the all-time greatest.
She was the 25th anniversary Playboy Playmate. Boy, did I wear out that centerfold. Oh, I crushed that centerfold. I just destroyed it.
You owned it.
I've just...
You smurfed it.
Oh, candy. Ooh la la, in the words of Britney Spears. Yeah, good stuff right there.
Man, too much information, man.
Sorry. Congratulations to Iron Man yesterday. It crossed the $1 billion mark at the box office.
Just a billion?
Just $1 billion. Experts now predicting, with its current trajectory, it will become the fifth highest grossing film of all time by the time it's all said and done.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
What did you say, 3 weeks, 22 days?
23 days. 23 days. It's been out in theaters, yeah.
Wow.
It's nuts. Another day, another Bruce Willis movie in the works. Hollywood Reporter says he's going to be in a film called Expiration, where he plays a hitman who gets poisoned and then has to find the cure before he dies.
What?
He's a hitman who gets poisoned, then has to find the cure before he dies. Remember that movie that was called Crank?
I enjoyed it.
I was trying to rack in my brain for the title of that.
That was a good film.
It was good. It was well done.
It was.
Then.
Because it was in real time, that movie, right?
Yeah.
Like he had 80 minutes or something like that till he was going to die. He had to fix himself. Yeah.
There's another film called DOA, an old film with an actor named Edmund O'Brien. Also plays a guy who is poisoned and has to try to find the...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
The antidote before it's all said and done. So it's not exactly an original plot, but at least it'll be done in a very pedestrian way, I'm sure.
Pat O'Brien, are you related to that actor Ralph was just mentioning?
You know, Evan O'Brien, actually, great uncle of mine.
Oh, really?
Pretty good actor, too,
by interesting, the way. You would know a famous person in a movie.
Well, I used to hang out a lot with celebrities, of course, being in this business for 35 years. You make some friends.
Right. Met a lot of people, have you?
A lot of friends.
You have to mention them all by name?
I remember we were playing basketball at Kevin Costner's house.
Right, all right.
And Steve McQueen's kid came up to me and said, hey, are you related to that actor, Evan O'Brien? And I said, as a matter of fact, I am. That's when Spielberg gave me a call.
Right. Okay, thank you, Pat.
Wouldn't know if I'd be interested in being an E.T. too, as Elliot, all grown up. And I said, I don't know, Steve. Get back to me. Right now, my plate's pretty full.
You told
biggest
Steve
radio
Spielberg
show
to get
in the world,
to you.
Me and Hartman, prime time. Right, I called Hartman and I. Huge hit on the radio, the AM dial.
Right. Yeah, that's where all the good shows are put, is on the AM dial.
Everybody will tune in, listen to us.
Sure. Yeah. Can't get the kids off of AM, right, Pat?
Talking sports. Talking life.
Right. Right.
You know, tomorrow...
Okay, we don't have time for that, Rand.
We really have to go, Pat.
A promise.
Right.
We don't... Yesterday's a memory.
We don't have time.
Today is the only day you can actually affect any change, because today will soon be tomorrow's yesterday.
Right.
And is yesterday's tomorrow. Right.
Pat, we got
to
go.
Today be the day we finish this bit and end the show?
Pat, come back. Pat walked out. I think you insulted him.
We hurt his feelings. Sorry.
Finally.
He's going to meet you. Waiting for me down there now.
Ventura and Sepulveda. He'll meet you there.
He knows he will.
Wherever the insect was. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nikki Reed. She's 25 years old today. Nine Inch Nail singer Trent Reznor is 48 years old. Late, late show host Craig Ferguson turns 51 today. Tonight, his special guest, William Shatner. I might tune in for that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I think he's an excellent interviewer.
He is. He is one of the few guys who can be very funny and also really conduct an interesting interview.
A lot of fun.
Sugar Ray Leonard is 57 years old, boxing legend. Bob Saget.
Bob Saget!
He's 57 years old. Bob's also a Philly boy, you know. Maybe he'll come down to my new water ice shop.
You're not going to have that.
When I open my shop, you're not invited to the opening. How about that? And Bill Paxton, the actor, is 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We'll see everybody at the Wayne Rose tomorrow. You can either show up down there. The set times are at krock.com. Or you can watch the entire thing at krock.com as well.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I wish I knew what to do.
Roll another one.
All right, now I have a boner.
Just like the other one.
No, are you serious?
This one seems to be about quit.
Jesus, where do we find these people?
And I need another hit.
We're
gonna smoke some pot tonight, pot tonight, pot tonight.
Yeah!
Roll another one.
Sarah Abramson?
Just like the other one.
Matt Damon, shame on you!
This one seems to be about to end.
God, this guy's a bummer.
I don't have another cent.
But, no. Yes.
But don't bogart that joint.
I am a Negro.
Just pass it around.
Oh, that's tight.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Why are you bad, America?
I'll just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Brought to you by people whose fingers are too tight.
Wow, you are really good at wasting time. Can I go home now?
That was not good.
Sucked. That sucked. It was horrible.
Better than you thought or worse?
A lot worse.
A lot worse. Our national nightmare is over.
Thanks for your time. Have a good day.
All right, so that's it. Star Trek Into Darkness. I'm going to go see it. Check it out. It's in theaters Friday. I'll see you. Long live and prosper. Over and out. I totally messed that up.